today's first reading brings to a conclusion from the last couple of weeks, our reading from the book of Job, which is really a beautiful book from the Old Testament written somewhere between 4 to 6 centuries before the time of Christ. And it really highlights very beautifully the idea that the revelation of God is progressive through the Old Testament, and their understanding of who God is developing until finally the coming of Jesus Christ, who is the fullness of revelation, who reveals to us precisely who God is, at least as well as our human minds are able to see God. And that is the meaning in today's gospel, of course, when Jesus says that he has received everything from the Father and he reveals everything that the Father has given to him. But returning to the book of Job, the predominant thought that the people of Israel and the sacred author were wrestling with at the time of the book of Job was really to be able to explain these following two principles going hand in hand, namely that God is perfectly just, and two, that there is suffering which is found in this world. And the predominant belief at this time was that for those who were just, they were rewarded materially in this world, and for those who were unjust, they were punished materially in this world. In other words, they didn't yet know about the resurrection of Jesus. They didn't yet know about the fullness of life to come, where God will only be able to account his perfect justice at that point. And therefore, Job is a rather perplexing figure to them. Because on the one hand, Job is a very just man, and in this he is prefiguring Jesus. And at the same time, Job goes through some very horrendous sufferings. He loses all of his family. He goes through tremendous personal affliction and pain. And all of it leads his friends and others to say, Job, repent of your sins. You clearly have done wrong because look at all the bad things that have happened to you. And Job, of course, cannot repent of it because he knows he hasn't done anything to offend God. And in fact, Job really highlights an extreme faithfulness to God, even in the midst of suffering, whereby he is willing to accept the fact that God is God, that his ways are not our ways, and that he has to succumb himself to the divine will to be able to say, I may not understand it, but I'm always going to trust in the goodness of God. And in this, Job really is pointing and prefiguring toward the figure of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, of course, is going to be the ultimate innocent God-man, in fact, who is going to suffer horrendously and who is going to die for us. And ultimately, the redemption of Jesus, or the salvation of Jesus, I should say, in terms of his bodily life, is really going to come with his resurrection. And it's precisely there that Jesus wins for us the gift of redemption and the gift of salvation. So it's significant that in today's first reading, ultimately, the sacred author comes back and basically restores to Job all of his material prosperity. He finds a new wife, new family, new material wealth. And this was sort of the vindication of Job to show, yes, he was in fact a just man. But of course, for us, having the fullness of revelation given to us in Jesus Christ, we know that the ultimate reckoning and that our ultimate redemption and salvation in life is only going to come at the end of our life when we are able to participate in the resurrection of Jesus. That leads me just to one last final point, which today's readings remind me of, and that is Pope Benedict XVI in his encyclical Spes Salvi said that he thinks that the most convincing argument for the existence of God is really the fact that each of us has a strong inherent sense that we want to see justice brought about in this world and in the lives of people. We have a real hankering to see that a final justice would be brought about. It's something which really seems to be intrinsic and inherent within us as a natural desire. And yet when we look at the world around us, we have to admit it is going to be impossible to bring about a perfect justice in this world. There are, since the time of Roe versus Wade, over 1 million unborn babies who are killed and aborted in our country alone. How is it even possible for justice to be brought about for them? How is it possible for victims of the Holocaust and the Second World War to have justice brought about for them? It's an impossibility as a human project. And the only one who can reconcile it, the only one who can bring about this final perfect state of justice, is going to be a work of God that is only going to be seen in the next life, after we have been judged as individuals and collectively at the final judgment. And this then, Pope Benedict points out, really is kind of a pointing that we have this desire for this perfect state of justice, and yet we also know it's an impossibility for we human beings, and therefore it points to the fact that there must be a God who can bring about this desire which is inherent within us. And so, my brothers and sisters, as we go forward today, let us ask God for the grace, first of all, that we would always think rightly about God and have a proper conception about Him. Because the same way that in the 4th to 6th century BC their thinking about God was a little bit off, the exact same thing happens today. And people oftentimes reject a belief in God, not because God doesn't exist, but because their idea of who God is so faulty that they disagree with the God who we don't actually believe in ourselves. So let us ask for the grace that we would always see God for who He is, as has been revealed perfectly in Jesus Christ. And let us ask for the grace that, as Job prefigured and as Jesus revealed, that we too are called to accept sufferings and persecutions in this world. We're called to unite them with the saving sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, all in the hope that one day we too will participate in the perfect redemption that Jesus has won for us, and in the justice of God that will come with the final judgment. Amen.